As I mentioned earlier, go ahead and take a seat for right now. I was just really inundated with a lot of text messages, phone calls, voicemails, Facebook, Instagrams, of just sickness, of different things happening this week, missing this Sunday. And I really wanted to lift up our church family this week. There are a lot of people hurting, sick, you name it. Things are going on specifically this week and this weekend. And together, I wanted us to pray over that. I'm gonna pray right now, but would you also be praying at the same time? Don't just listen. Don't just be a bystander, but be a participant. Be a participant. In sports terms, don't be a fan who sits in the crowds, who shouts when something cool happens, but come down on the field and pray too. You might have a friend that's missing this morning that they might be sick or they might not be feeling well or something's going on. I'm going to pray, but you pray also. You can pray silently. You can pray out loud. But let's lift up our friends and family today, okay? Lord, I pray that you would bring healing to those that need healing. In Isaiah, you say that you took stripes on your back for our healing. I love on the cross, God, the last words you said were, "It is finished." Teleos. It means completely over with. The curse that humanity would bear in regards to sickness, disease, and everything else that it interjects with that. Incompleteness. God, because you died on the cross and because that happened, you said we now have opportunity for wholeness. Wholeness. We sang about a broken jar this morning in the third song, God. I don't think it's a coincidence that you bring up jars and things that hold in the Bible and that we're broken. But through your power, we're put together. Yeah, the cracks might still be visible, but we're put together simply to carry, to hold on to everything that you are and share it with others we come in contact with. Lord, bring wholeness in the lives of our family, our friends, and our community. The very people that we're thinking about as we pray right now, I pray that we would maybe take a step farther than we normally would and call them this week. Take them out to coffee. Bring them some soup. But do something to show our love intertwined with God's love to them. God, let us take a step forward this week. In Jesus' name, amen. 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 Today's message is entitled, that you guys are all wondering why I'm going to dismiss you just a second. Today's message is entitled Made to Welcome. We are still in the middle of our Made series, as you can see up here. Made with our giant paintbrushes that look suspiciously like brooms, but they're not. They're paintbrushes. Those aren't pool noodles. They're paintbrushes. Made to Welcome. We're in a series right now called Made. It's looking at all the different things how God has made us to be. Today specifically, it's Made to Welcome. So if you're comfortable already, you don't want to get up, you can stay, but just extend an arm and say good morning and maybe tell them the title of the message and say, welcome, I'm glad you're here because today is Made to Welcome. I have to say that. All right? Go ahead and greet one another. Thank you, worship team, so much. Yes. Well, welcome. Welcome, welcome, welcome. Oh, my goodness. You came on a really good day. I'm just letting you know, this Sunday is like, this is the day to come. Today, I'm preaching all about Matt. Just want to let you know, this is the best day to come on. Not the Matt, but the flat Matt that you see on the floor. So, today, here's what I had been putting together for this message, and what God placed on my heart was in regards to, thanks, Yvonne. Oh, I thought you got me a coffee. Oh, I'm just joking. I was just teasing. And I had outlined all my messages for the next couple series, and oh, just so you know, next series is going down. I'm thrilled for this. I can't say I'm excited because everyone says I say excited too much. But next series, it's really, really cool. It's called Armed and Dangerous, and the underlining theme has to deal with Lord of the Rings. So it's going to be a nerd out sermon series. It's going to be a short one, but it's going to be so good. And we have a wonderful guest speaker coming, one of our dear friends, Shane Jackson, who is a camp speaker, and he's coming to our church to bring the word, and I am thrilled. So just a plug for the next series. And if you don't like nerdy things or Lord of the Rings, Jesus saves, so. So I'm talking about today. Originally, this message was just about the welcome mat. That's where I got the title. That's where I got the concept. It had to do with different biblical figures that were really good at welcoming, hospitality specific. But through my research and developing and prayer, I started looking at all the different mats that exist on this earth. And I discovered every mat, all the different ones through all the different cultures and ethnicities and societies and everywhere, they all boil down into three categories. Out of all of them, the different yoga mats, the mouse pad mats, welcome mat, there are only three categories of different mats in existence out of the hundreds of different ones in all the different cultures. I thought it was so interesting that everything is boiled down to three categories. And if you want to boil it down even more, they're all a sacrificial object to protect something from something else. Oh, it's going to get good today. So my 3 points are just the three categories, but I have biblical points that I'll explain in a sec. So number one, sheltered by the Savior. Sheltered by the Savior. Sheltered by the Savior. One category of mats are ones that shelter what's below from what's above. So one example is the workout mat. If you're working out and you have the kettlebells and you're a mat laying there and you see Andy Boblett above you, you're going, ouch, because he's throwing the kettlebells down. And it's protecting the floor below. Right, the entire point of the workout mat is to protect the fancy floor below. Another one is the yoga mat. It's to protect the dainty people on top from the precious bamboo floor below. Right? It's protecting the thing that's underneath it. It's a shelter. A mouse pad mat protects the desk or, you know, the grandma's pristine vintage history desk from that video game nerd who's, you know, scratching it all up with the mat. That's what it is. Protects it. It shelters it. The car mat that goes in your car underneath, right? Praise Jesus if you have kids with that. You know, you get more nuggets and french fries with ketchup sauce thrown at that little piece of carpet or plastic than ever before. You know, if you have road rage, you're stomping down on it with the work boots or whatever, and it's protecting it. So when you trade it in, you just buy $10 mats and replace them and go, look how clean my car looks. You know, and you get a higher value of the car. It shelters it. Shelters what's beneath from what's above. Psalms 91, 1 through 2. So excited the computer's up and running. That's awesome. You guys are miracle workers today. The power of Jesus. I was so nervous for those of you who don't know, the computer all of a sudden this morning goes, restarting and system error check. And those usually take forever. Psalm 91, 1 through 2. Those who live in the shelter of the Most High will find rest. Everyone say rest. Say it like you mean it. Rest in the shadow of the Almighty. This I declare about the Lord. He alone is my refuge, my place of safety. He is my God, and I trust him. Just a side note. This is in my notes. If you're going through something and you need the shelter of Jesus, you need to be reading Psalm 91. Just make that your motto. Read it daily and meditate on it. When you're going through something, this is it. This is the chapter. Psalm 91. When you feel like a storm is raging on in your life, Psalm 91. 91. Okay. Everyone say rest one more time. You got it. Rest one more time. Okay. Rest. And I'm kind of disappointed I didn't preach on this scripture in the year of rest, which is 2015. I was researching the scripture and going through it, and the Hebrew on this word rest isn't the normal rest. It's not the same word rest that you find in the rest of the Bible. I didn't mean to say it like that, but it's really peculiar that they would use this word because it has a double meaning. You know, like I don't remember what decade it was, but when you say something was bad, it could either be bad or good. But depending on how you said it, it was either one or the other. And sometimes someone say it and you're like, I don't know which one you're talking about. You know, is it really bad or is it like bad? You know? You just need Michael Jackson to interpret it. I don't know. So rest has a double meaning here based on content and context. So the Hebrew word is L-U-W-N. I don't know how to pronounce it. Luin, lon, loon, something like that. L-U-W-N has two meanings. One is obviously rest, or else they wouldn't use it. That's a given. It means rest. But the second meaning, this just blew my mind. I really could just preach an entire sermon on this one word. The second meaning is complaining. Yeah, complaining. Depending on where the word is and how it's used, it could either mean rest or complaining. Rest or complaining. Rest or complaining. Depending. And so it brings really a lot more understanding in the scripture. Check this out. Those who live in the shelter of the Most High will find rest in the shadow of the Almighty. But let's read it the other way. Those who live in the shelter of the Most High can complain while in the shadow of the Almighty. It's all about the perspective. Have you ever been in a really bad storm? I don't think Ventura qualifies as bad stormy weather. You know, it's like a couple raindrops hit the car. I can't go outside. You know, I was watching Jimmy Kimmel. I don't endorse this show. I just saw this clip where he put together all of Southern California's stormy weather clips at once from news anchors. And there's this one where there's this news anchor just bundled up and he had this snow jacket on and his hat on and he has his mittens on and the temperature at the bottom says like 59. And he's like, we're in storm watch ball in Southern California. And you see a leaf roll across in the background just slowly and you're like, is there really nothing else to talk about right now? Like, this is it? Well, I grew up in Oregon and we had storms, okay? There were storms. And if you grew up in like Minnesota or somewhere else, you probably had much worse storms going on. But I remember being in a storm. The storm would rage on and you'd be sitting in the house and sometimes I liked it. Because the lights would cut out, they'd flicker, they'd go out in the air. You're done without electricity for a day or more, you know? Edison would just be like, we'll get to you eventually, okay? We got work to do in the state. And you're one house on the grid because you're in the mountains. And so we're sitting there and we pull up the candles and the blankets because that's how we were. And we just start playing board games. So we'd wake up, play board games, and then go to bed at night. That was the option. Like, that was it on a farm. That's just what we did. And I remember thinking about this. The house might shake, the lights might go out, but you're sheltered. The storm rages on, but you're sheltered. This is it. Because you are sheltered doesn't mean the storm gives up. That's worth the price of admission for some of you today. The storm rages on till it's over, but you're sheltered. And based on your perspective in the shelter, you can either take a look at what's going on and just be blessed by saying, praise God Almighty, I'm in a shelter. Or you can say, well, roads are closed, got no electricity, no Wi-Fi going on. And you can sit there and complain, even though you're in rest. And I really think that's what this word is trying to bring out. What's your perspective in the storm that you're sheltered in? The complaining? The frustration because the storm is raging on? Because we have the audacity to think, God, shouldn't my life be simple now that I'm saved? How can a storm happen? Well, really, God said, no weapon formed against me shall prosper. It doesn't say, no weapon formed against me shall break. It just says, shall not prosper. The weapon doesn't disappear. It's still there. We're just sheltered now. The storm rages on, but we're sheltered. See, these are the mats that prevent the world from devaluing what's below or beneath the mat. It's the barrier separating the world from the valuable items. It prevents scratches, stains, wear and tear. These mats sacrifice themselves for what cannot protect themselves. Man, never really saw Jesus as a floor mat before until this message. It really is a great example of Jesus. He's that unpassable barrier between the world and everything that exists and us. He protects the value of who we are because he values us. And the crazy thing is, without him in our lives, without the mat, without Jesus, we're not sheltered from all the craziness, and the storm rages on. But with the shelter, guess what? It still rages on. We're just protected by Christ. And we have an option to rest in that or complain in that. God, I'm still going through the storm. Well, yeah. My promise is I'd shelter you. Do you rest in it or are you going to complain about it? Okay. I found this story in a book I wanted to share. I really like it. That's pretty much all. During a violent thunderstorm, a mother was tucking her small boy into bed. She was about to turn off the light when he asked with a tremor in his voice, Mommy, will you sleep with me tonight? The mother gave him a smile and reassuring hug. I can't, dear, she said. I have to sleep with your daddy. A long silence was broken at last by the shaky little voice, the big sissy. Just think it's cute. Shelter. Just sounds like something, you know, like our kids would say. Shelter, shelter. Sheltered by the Savior. You're sheltered, but it's your choice what you do with that shelter. Number two. Secured by the Savior. Secured by the Savior. The second grouping of mats today are the bath mat, you know, the one that goes in front of the tub, the one that you get out and you're like all slippery, and if you don't have that down, you just kind of slide a couple feet. Have you ever slid in a bathroom right out of the shower and you go, well, we need something right there. This needs to stop. Our daughter pretty much discovers why we need a bath mat. Almost every bath. Bath mat. They also have these things called anti-fatigue mats that are in the same area. They're the ones that you need to endure something. The ones that you're sitting there and you stand on top of and you sink like gel a little bit, right? The ones that can help you endure what's going on. They're also comfort mats, the ones that sit there. These types of mats are the ones that help the thing above from the thing below. See, previously it was protecting the thing below from the thing above. Now it's protecting the thing above from the thing below. It's reversed, if you will. It's kind of confusing, but just go with me. These are the ones that hold you up when you're losing strength. They prevent you from slipping and being injured. These mats prevent the world from being hurt or worn down by the harsh surface below. They keep the thing above valuable. It's the point of this mat. Security. It's a securing thing. Psalm 31 through 3 says, I will exalt you. Everyone say exalt. I will exalt you. We didn't say it very exalted-like, but it's all right. Lord, for you rescue me. You refuse to let my enemies triumph over me. Oh, Lord, my God, I cried to you for help, and you restored my health. You brought me up from the grave, O Lord. You kept me from falling into the pit of depth. I will exalt you, Lord, for you rescue me. You rescue me. I like the word exalt. It's so funny. As I was looking at this scripture also, the word that kept popping up was exalt. So I looked it up, and guess what? It had a dual meaning also. It's the word R-U-W-M, room. Everyone try saying that, room. If you can roll your R, that's even better. Room. Okay. Thanks for trying, all five of you. Appreciate that. It's a Hebrew word, and it has two meanings. The first one is exalt. It means to lift up, to hold up. It's this thing that it means I'm going to lift up what's more valuable than me. I exalt this because it's above me on a pedestal. That's God. We lift up. It says, you're better than me. You're bigger than me. You're mightier than me. I love you more. I lift you up. But if you take the same word and put it in a different context, it means something completely different. You know, it means rotten due to worms burrowing inside. That's disgusting. Like, have you ever picked an apple? Has anyone ever bitten into an apple that had a little critter working its way inside? You have? A couple people? And it's like that first bite. You just get in there, and it's like that mushy brown of an apple. You know what I'm talking about? It's like, ew. The words of Jimmy Fallon. It's rotten. Bless you. I will exalt you, Lord, for you rescued me. I will lift you up because you have secured me in my salvation. I will lift you up. But it's interesting because if you flip it to the other meaning, it says, I will exalt you, Lord, for you rescue me. You flip it to the other one, I will rot because I've allowed things to burrow inside of me when you tried to rescue me. Wow. I think this scripture is, in Hebrew writing, you learn that whenever someone writes a rule or a type of law, they always list the perks and the consequences at the same time. That's just a rule of Hebrew writing. And I think that the writer is so clever. They did that here. I will exalt you, Lord, for you rescued me. Or I will rot in the inside because I've let little things eat away at me. The little things. We all have them. What are some little things you've just let burrow inside of you? For some of us, it's just what people say, what people do, our past. It's just, sometimes it's emotions. Sometimes it just hurts. We let these things crawl inside of us and burrow and basically create rotten things in our lives. Does that make sense? Am I making sense this morning? It's It's interesting. If we don't exalt the Lord, these things will burrow inside of us. I want to challenge you. If you feel like you have something on the inside that's just making you feel rotten, kind of a play on words here, just make you feel rotten, have you exalted God today? Have you lifted him up as a number one priority today? Have you said, God, I want to give you today because I want to exalt you. I want to exalt you today. And it's different for every person. It's different for how you hear the voice of God. It's different for how you spend time with God. But it's a standard for everyone. Exalt God or feel the way you're feeling. Lifting or rotting. Lifting or rotting. I have another story that I wanted to share with you all. Okay, here it is. Secured by the Savior. Seemed to me I should never have any success among the Indians. My soul was weary of my life. I longed for death beyond measure. That was what David Brainerd wrote in the early 1700s about his early weeks as a missionary to Native Americans. Things didn't improve much for the first 2 years. Brainerd felt his prospects of winning converts were as dark as midnight. 3 years into the work, though he finally witnessed a revival among the Indians of Crosswissung in New England, and 18 months later, the number of converts numbered 150, which was profoundly significant in the day. Brainerd died after only 5 years on the mission field at age 29. After Brainerd's death, Jonathan Edwards, whom some consider America's greatest theologian, published Brainerd's journals. These were read widely in America and Europe. William Carey, the man who ignited the modern Protestant missionary movement, which has resulted in millions of conversions worldwide, and Brainerd's journal were a key source of his inspiration to take up the missionary life. Who then can judge whether our work is worthwhile? Certainly, we cannot when we are in the midst of discouragement. Enduring. This group of mats really help us to endure. They're the ones that I said, when you get out of the bathtub, they help you endure and live longer than that day of slipping. They prolong your life. The anti-fatigue mats, if you ever felt, they're like the squishy foam kind of thing. I went to a church once and they had just remodeled it, and the pastor was showing me, he's like, yeah, we had anti-fatigue mats filled under the carpet of the platform. So he said, it's like walking on the moon. It helps you endure, to stand up and keep going longer than you normally would be able to. That's his concept. When we're secured by the Savior, he prolongs any ability that we think we could, this is the end. We can run further, faster. It's like wearing PF flyers, if you know what that means. Thanks, David. That's what it is. Secured. Because we're secured by Christ, we can go farther than we've ever thought we were able to before. Number three. Sent by the Savior. This is the type of mat that there's only really one type in this grouping. It's the only one. It's the welcome mat. It's the only one that it's placed in front of a door to serve one purpose. It's the one where you come. So let's say this is the entryway. There's a welcome mat here. That's the house. And this is your walking, okay? It's the only one where you come in from the outside dirty, cross over it into the home. It's the only mat that does it. It's the only mat that also, on your way in, cleans you up with a greeting. Welcome. Right? It's an encouragement as you cross over it and cleanses you of everything that you've been walking around in all day. I mean, if this doesn't depict Jesus, I don't know what does. You come from the world, cross over Jesus, encouraged and cleansed into the home. The welcome mat. The welcome mat. It's the only one. It's the only mat that does it. John 7:37. On the last and most important day of the festival, Jesus stood up and shouted, "If anyone is thirsty, let him come to me and drink." Isaiah 55:1. "Is there anyone thirsty? Come and drink. Even if you have no money, come. Take your choice of wine or milk. It's all free." Jesus' message really can be boiled down to just come. Welcome. Do you know the last chapter in the entire Bible, the theme is come? Welcome. Come on in. It's all for you. I've prepared it. It's ready. I'm the welcome mat. Cross over me. So I just think it's interesting. Who's owned a welcome mat at some point in your life? Who has never owned a welcome mat? No one wants to raise their hand. No one wants to admit, like, we don't like to welcome people here. I'm just kidding. I shouldn't have said that. Have you ever had a welcome mat like a little too long where it's like it wears down a little bit to where it's like the more people that track over it, it eventually just becomes like, well, you know, it's like it doesn't say welcome anymore. It's not pleasant. It just wears out, or it just says, yeah, come on. You know, it's just C-O-M-E. It's just, it wears out. It wears out the welcome. That's what I'm trying to allude to. The more it's been trampled over, the more the welcome has worn out. I'm trying to transition my message right now. Have you ever been so walked over in your life where you started as a bright and shiny Christian with a welcome message and eventually it just wears out to, well, I love Jesus. You know what I'm getting at here? I'm trying to allude to this. The more people that have come from the world tracking in all kinds of junk and we're sitting there next to Jesus because we're supposed to be Christ-like, because his welcome doesn't wear out, but ours can. The more people that walk over, the more people that track over us, the more times we're shuffled on, we can wear thin. The welcome wears out, and eventually we just become a mat sitting there for people to walk over until we've had enough. I think it's very applicable. I want to share a story. I had been praying for a family member for so long to be saved, just to know Jesus, and they were out of the state. There's no way for me to invite them to my church and for them to have a Sunday commute airplane ticket in. That wasn't going to happen. But I was just praying and praying and praying and praying and praying. Have you ever had that where you're just praying for God to have someone know Jesus in your family? You know that feeling of just that endless prayer of like, I just want them to know what I got. It's so good. And I remember I was praying and praying, and I was a young pastor at the time. I still am. But I was really young, wet behind the ears as a pastor. And I had all these things running around trying to do on Sunday morning. You know, it's like, it's just, you have all the, like, these to-do lists that you just got. And I'm running around this church and taking care of stuff. And and people are filing in, people are filing out, stuff happening. And there's just this one lady standing in the middle of the foyer, just kind of like doing one of these things, you know, and I'm like, shoof, shoof, doing like all these different things in the church, and she's just kind of standing there. And I had like that pull on your heart, you know, eventually you start feeling like, I need to do something here, like that kind of thing. And eventually I walked up to her and I was like, oh man, I got 3 minutes and 58 seconds to finish four things right now before church starts. And I walk up, I'm like, hey, and you know, you ask the loaded in questions. Are you looking for something? Can I help you? I hope this takes 30 seconds so I can get her in there and then I can take care of this and I can do this. And she goes, my family told me I should go to church. They've been telling me for about 15, 20 years. And I live down the street. I just showed, I don't know what I'm supposed to do here. And I was like, oh, I got so much to do. In my head, I'm like, I got so much to do right now. And so I see this young girl, Melissa, and I start talking to this girl, and Melissa's doing something, and she eventually comes up, and I'm like, hey, I want you to meet Melissa. I think you guys would kick it off. You guys need to talk and hang out. And Melissa goes, hey, yeah, let's. She sits next to her and says, oh, I'm on the worship team. I'm going to go worship. But would you see? I'm going to sit next to you during service, and let's talk about it, and it's okay. You know, and afterwards, let's go get some coffee. And I remember sitting in worship, and I got the rest of my tasks done and worshiping Jesus. And I remember just feeling God say, hey, remember that one family member you were praying for in the other state for so long? This girl has 10, 15 people praying for her in another state. And that was the best welcome you could do? Is that how you want your family member welcomed? And I was like, oh, Jesus. I got to do announcements in 3 minutes. Why are you making me cry right now? And I remember sitting there just so convicted. So convicted. Every person that comes is someone else's family member, someone else's friend, someone that has been prayed over. This might be their one chance, and I am the recipient that God has chosen to welcome them into his home. I am it. The other family members, they don't get a fly-in from another state to welcome them into this church. And I wanted to really talk about made to welcome. Made to welcome. Of all the points I've given out today, I wanted to really hammer this in. We're all made to welcome. See, the welcome mat was here. At one point, we were in the world. Somehow, somewhere or another, we made it to the entryway, crossed over Jesus, and stepped into the grandeur of his home. Every room is kind of like a different church, if you will, if you want to play out this illustration in your head. And we're sitting there, and they kind of looked around, and I don't know where I'm supposed to, okay. And they come into one room, and let's just pretend that room is our church. And they come in, they don't really know anyone, they don't know the way of life, they don't know the routines, they just kind of come in through the door. Have you ever had like a dinner party or a Super Bowl party, and you have one person who's just randomly invited, and they just show up and kind of knock at the door, and everyone else had been walking in, and everyone else knows the way of the family except for that person? That's very awkward. That's super nerve-wracking. Have you ever been that person? I have. That's weird. You walk into that room and you're like, everyone's on the same page. They're all doing certain things. Everyone knows to do this and that. And I don't know what I'm supposed to do. Right? And they walk in, and by the grace of God, sometimes someone pulls them aside and says, hey, why don't you hang out with me today? Hey, this is how we do this. This is what happens here. This is why we do the, you know. And they walk them through. So they're part of the family versus on the outside looking in. Like, have you ever been to a store like Cotton On or H&M, and you walk through the mall, and there's a difference by standing on the outside of the glass looking in, trying to look at all the different things, versus going in and entering into the store? Only one way you can buy what's inside. You have to enter in. But if you're on the outside looking in, you can't purchase anything. A lot of Christians who attend churches are on the outside looking in going, I don't get it. Because no one has welcomed them in. I love sales associates sometimes. So I can't say all the time because, hello. But you know the really good sales associate, just, how are you doing today? I'm good, how are you? And they're like, can I help you find anything? And then you're like, no, I'm good. And then they're already gone. That's the bad sales associate. The good one is they'll see you look at something and you're like, hey, I noticed you're looking at jeans. Did you know we have a clearance section in the back? A lot of people don't even know it's back there. I'll take you back there right now. That's the kind of person I like. One's like, let me take you. You go into like to Lowe's or whatever. Depends what Lowe's you go to in this city. Okay, you go to one of them, and they'll walk you a thing and say, what's your project today? And they'll kind of walk through some steps. You go to the other one, you walk in, you're like, hey, I'm looking for this one thing. It's like a tube. And they're like, it's on aisle 2, and then they walk in the opposite direction. They just say the farthest aisle away from themselves at this moment. So that by the time you get there and come back, they're gone. They're dust in the wind. You know, and I was thinking about that. Are we a welcoming community? Welcoming community. Welcoming community. I was so moved by God to preach on this message in this season at this time. I've had this message for so long, you guys don't even know. But right now, God said, this is the time, dust it off, pull it out, because I got something happening around Easter time. But if we don't grasp how to welcome, what happens with these families that come in through outreach? They come in, kind of uncomfortable. No one's talking to me. I don't understand it. I'm out, you know. That's not why I want us to do at this church. I want us to be a welcoming church. One of the reasons why I stuck around in church as a kid was because I went and some other kid was like, dude, you want to go to get ice cream afterwards? A bunch of my friends are going. I was like, okay. And we got ice cream afterwards, and he's like, you come back next week, right? And in my head, up to that point, I wasn't. And I was like, yeah, yeah. He goes, okay, because I'm going to message you. I was like, okay, I'm locked into this church. You know, it's like, I can't disappoint this guy, you know? That's it. Are we a welcoming church? I want to challenge you. If you see someone come in, like, just take them out to coffee. Like, dude, you want to get some coffee today? If you can't afford the cup of coffee, I'll give you the money to buy the cup of coffee. That love that they're experiencing Christ through you at that cup of coffee is life-changing. The $1.80 to $4.50, depending on how many shots they put in it, is life-changing. Life-altering experience. Made to welcome. Made to welcome. You are the tool God uses to heal a broken heart. Some people are questioning if God is even real and God is speaking to you to do or say something. You're one conversation away from someone having a divine miracle happen. Arnold Glaslow said this. Some folks make you feel at home. Others make you wish you were home. If you don't get it, we'll explain it later. Hospitality. Oh my goodness. The difference on hospitality is what's needed versus what's given. That's hospitality. I want to share a couple stories and then I'm going to wrap up, okay? I was directed this one camp, and I'm gonna give a couple hospitality stories. I'm not gonna give names because I don't want to embarrass. Usually, people that are really good at hospitality don't like to be platformed. Okay, so I'm not gonna give names, and if later on, if you'd like me to give your name, I will. But I was at a this one camp, and I was the last camp director in a series of camps. And everyone was just kind of in the routine. They got it. The interns, everyone's locked in. Locked in. And I had a hospitality director position. And I remember it was one of my buddies, and he's like, dude, I've never done hospitality. And I was like, you're good. Just make sure there's coffee. That's all that's needed in hospitality. Like, just ignorant. Okay. So ignorant up to this point on hospitality. And I was like, just make sure there's hot coffee. Okay, that's what's needed here. And so he makes the hot coffee, and at the end of the day, I got pulled aside by almost every intern, leader, staff person, like, I know there's hot coffee here, but where's my custom fruit shake? Like at the other camp? There's also a custom trail mix bar where you take the different trail. And I was like, what? It's like, we got coffee. And they're like, oh, I know you got coffee, but there's only like one blend. Do you have the other ones and the specialty creamers? And I was like, what is going on right now? And it was at that moment I realized, yeah, I can do what's needed or I can be hospitable. One shows how much I love, and one just shows that, hey, you're in a position, do it. I remember one time, another hospitality story I want to share. My daughter was invited over for a tea party. And I went, and Patty went, and I think Oliver was there. And so we're going over, and we go. And then in my head, I was like, a tea party? What do you do at a tea party? And I was thinking, well, there's probably a bag of tea, hot water, and probably like a coffee mug. And that was my expectation of what was needed at this tea party. So show up, and we're welcomed. And London put on her lace gloves. There was little tiny pastries on a serving platter. And each of us had this little plate with this intricate, delicate, probably the most gorgeous like tea mug I've ever seen in my life. And it was just so laid out. There was multiple selections. It wasn't just one tea you put in it. There was custom teas. There was bag teas. There was ones you had to do at certain temperatures, and they had to sit there for so long. And there was like this drip stopper, and all these things going on. And I was like, oh, this is tea. Why, you're welcomed here. You're not just given what's needed. You're given up so much more above and beyond. You're welcomed in. Not just because we have tea for you, but because we're entering into this family community relationship. I want you to really think about in this next season. When you see someone coming to the church that maybe you've never seen before, are you welcoming them in? Man, I dream of a church that I'd go up to someone and be like, hey, can we go to coffee after service? And they're like, I'm booked out 3 weeks already. Three Sundays from now, I got people taking me coffee. Maybe after that. I dream of that church. I dream of a church where we're almost fighting over to welcome people in to the house of God. It's my dream church. To be a family. Say, come on, we love you so much. That's what I dream of. I'm gonna end on this. My wife has told me this exact statement I've lost count of in our marriage. Okay, I'll say something to her, and her face like contorts and looks at me like, and I'm like, what? I just said what you asked me to say. And she always says this. She says, it's not what you said, it's how you said it. I just heard like a couple women here get mad at their husbands. I'm not even going to look up. It's not what you said, it's how you said it. It's not what you said, it's how you said it. When we welcome people to church, it's how we say it. Man, it really is good to see you this morning. versus, hey, I think there's a seat open over there. I'm going to be sitting here with my friends. Go over there. You know? It's how we say it. Man, I'm so glad you're at church today. Man, this church has been my family for so many years, and I'm glad that you're entering into the family today. I'm glad you're here. I'm so excited you're here today. Made to welcome. Made to welcome. Can we all stand up today? I just want to pray and wrap it up, and then we're going to go into tithes offering, and I'm praying that the video will work. Lord, I'm thrilled that you've welcomed us in, that you sacrificed yourself as a welcome mat, if you will, where we're able to come from the world, be cleansed, and be welcomed into your home. But God, that's not the end-all be-it of a Christian. It's really the first step. I pray that you would refine in us today our hospitality and welcoming attitude. There's something more than just standing together in a community. There's something about being welcomed and welcoming others. God, as we see children and family members that come in this place where they have family, they've been praying for them for 15, 20, 30 years, I pray that we'd welcome them in like our own. Because they're someone else's family. And God, we continue to pray and hope for those that we desire to be saved, that they would be welcomed in where they live. God, put a heart of hospitality and welcoming on us today, because we're made to welcome. Not just because it's something that we should do or shouldn't do or whatever, but it's because we are made, we are crafted to welcome as you have welcomed others in. Let us be like you today. Would you all, I don't feel done praying yet, but would you put your hands on your heart? I asked you to stand for a specific reason. I know we're going to sit down right afterwards, but I want you to stand just for this. Put both hands on your heart. Lord, work on our hearts in this year, 2016. Sweet 16. That excitement of when you hit 16 and excitement of licenses and cars and everything that happens when you hit sweet, the 16 year, it's just something about that year. I pray that in our hearts we'd have that rekindled excitement. Something about 16. Lord, in Jesus' name, amen.